Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone says he supports several ongoing transportation projects that will help drive tourism and business to the region. He delivered his State of the County address last night. Ballone touted the county's recovery from the pandemic through economic development. This includes the Ronkonkoma Hub project and a new North Terminal at MacArthur Airport and Convention.
We need to build for the future. We need to build sustainably in a way that addresses community concerns about traffic and noise and pollution.
Ballone also promoted sewer projects and other infrastructure developments that will improve water quality. Suffolk County also finalized a new agreement that will bring electric vehicle charging stations to the library parking lots in all 10 towns. You are listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Connecticut parents will be able to apply for a tax rebate for their kids. Millions of dollars from the federal government will help clean up the Naugatuck Valley, and Long Islanders recall a mass shooting from decades ago. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Governor Lamont announced today that Connecticut parents can soon apply for a one-time tax rebate for their children. WSHU's Mike Lyle reports.
Families can begin applying for the rebate on June 1st on the State Revenue Services Department website. The rebate was created under the fiscal year 2023 budget adjustment bill that Lamont signed into law earlier this month. Speaking at the Hartford Region YWCA, Lamont called the rebate a boon for families dealing with inflation.
The struggles people have right now, the cost of raising a kid in this day and age, and that's what it's meant to be. Give a lifeline to people, need a little extra help.
Residents must have claimed at least one minor dependent child on their 2021 tax returns to qualify. Single filers will receive the full benefits if they made $100,000 or less, while married filers can qualify at $200,000 or less. Lamont says approved applicants can expect to begin receiving rebate checks in late August. Mike Lyle, WSHU News.
The federal government says it will invest nearly $7 million to clean up and redevelop contaminated properties across Connecticut. Patrick Scahill reports much of that money is headed to the Naugatuck Valley.
The Environmental Protection Agency says the money will come from the bipartisan infrastructure law and be used for brownfield remediation. Brownfields are contaminated properties often found in underserved communities where redevelopment can be costly and complicated. The EPA says the Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments will get nearly $4 million to help clean up these sites. New London, New Haven, Stratford, Vernon, Waterbury, and West Haven will also get money to clean up everything from a school to an old button factory. The EPA says projects can range from cleaning up buildings with asbestos or lead contamination to abandoned properties that once managed dangerous chemicals. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Patrick Scahill.
Coming up, the psychological effects of being involved in a mass shooting. That story after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
The State Municipal Accountability Review Board questioned how the city will balance its budget in the long term with a renegotiated police contract. The deal was approved by the City Council in March to increase officer pay by $10,000. It would be paid for in the 2023 budget by $2 million in federal pandemic relief money and tax exemption benefit payments from businesses. The state of Connecticut took over West Haven's finances earlier this week after city workers misused federal coronavirus funds. This summer, the energy company Eversource will raise its electricity rates in Connecticut by 3.9%. The increase in the standard supply rate is due to a drop in the oil supply caused by the war in Ukraine. The new rates will begin on July 1st. The typical residential customer using 700 kilowatt hours of electricity can expect to see around a $4 increase in their monthly bill. United Illuminating will lower the standard supply rate for their customers, saving the average household 35 cents a month. The Maritime Aquarium at Norwalk was awarded a $500,000 federal grant to develop a new exhibit that explores salt marshes of the Long Island Sound. Salt marshes provide rich habitat for coastal wildlife and protect shoreline communities from the signs of climate change. The exhibit is expected to open in the summer of 2023 and will offer in-person and virtual education programming. The money comes from the American Rescue Plan. It's been more than a month since a gunman shot 10 people in a subway car in Sunset Park, Brooklyn. People who live in that community and were there that day have only just started down a long road to feeling safe again. To understand what may lie ahead, WSHU's Charles Lane spoke to people who survived a different shooting almost 30 years ago on the Long Island Railroad.
Terry Sullivan vividly remembers the first time that he rode the Long Island Railroad after the 1993 shooting.
The toughest part was feeling the train slow down, because that was the exact time that the gunman had started shooting.
Sullivan was in the first train car when Colin Ferguson shot 26 people, killing six of them. That was before the term mass shooting was part of most people's vocabulary. Kevin Zaleski was sitting several rows in front of Sullivan. For months after, he was haunted by this one thought: what if he had been killed?
For a while, I felt like I was a ghost in my own house. I would be out on the deck grilling. I could look in through these doors and see my family and say, what would it be like if I wasn't here at all? And that was something that I did multiple times, you know, just look in and say, if I wasn't here. I would hope they would be doing exactly what they were doing that night.
Many of those on the Long Island Railroad train described a psychological toll. After seeing people killed and injured, it was hard to feel safe again.
I would have these eerie moments where I'm like, who's behind me? You just like moments of, oh, could this happen again?
In Sunset Park, people are experiencing the same fear and stress, and they have been for weeks. Here's residents Evelyn Bameo and Evelyn Torres speaking with WNYC just a day after the shooting.
I usually take a little nap, and I was like, you can't even take a nap in the train no more. Now you gotta keep your eyes open. You gotta be on survival mode.
Everybody's nervous right now. You don't know what happened. You don't know. You go out of your house, but you don't know if you come back to your house.
That dread is something Julia Jean-Francois has heard a lot. She oversees counseling for a number of the Brooklyn victims from her cluttered office in the Center for Family Life in Sunset Park. It's right around the corner from where the shooting happened.
Sleeplessness, a sense of fear, a sense of anxiety, also worrying because they weren't sure was it safe to take the train and they have to get to work.
But Jean-Francois says the Sunset Park survivors face other challenges. As immigrants, many of them felt alone and afraid, even before a gunman boarded their train.
Vulnerable people who already were afraid and were already afraid of Asian-based hate crimes or immigrant-based hate crimes, being deported, you know, lots of fears that people live with all the time.
The Long Island Railroad survivors are mostly white and middle class, and at the time had more support. Survivor Jane Nicey says her boss at a New York investment bank gave her lots of space to recover.
He said, stay home as long as you want. He said, when you're ready to come back, we'll send a car for you as long as you want. And I stayed home for a couple days. I used a car for a couple days, maybe a week. And then I got back on the train. It wasn't comfortable, but I did it.
Terry Sullivan was already seeing a therapist when the Long Island Railroad shooting happened.
And that was helpful because I was talking about this issue with, you know, which you know, was helpful in that, because you can help tell the story and kind of like control it and process. You can process what you're thinking and feeling about it.
Jean-Francois says for many Sunset Park survivors, there is no time to stop and process feelings.
If you are working as a domestic worker and you're caring for an elderly person or you're cleaning houses, you can't afford to lose a day's pay. That's how you're going to feed yourself and your children. That's how you're going to pay for your rent. So the relationship to fear is a different one, I think, because fear is a kind of a, it's a given, and at the same time, it's not something you can give yourself the luxury to worry about.
Her office has received grants to pay for people's lost wages, provide for some ride shares, and trauma counseling.
People need help with the immediate aftermath of trauma and then some of the intrusive symptoms of trauma that happen later. But what they fundamentally will need is to re-engage in a group of, in a community life where they can feel like they're accepted, that they're valued, that their humanity is appreciated and understood, and that will be where the larger healing takes place.
Sunset Park itself, the large grassy knoll that the neighborhood is named for, is where Alejandra Gomez is starting to find peace. In the days after the shooting, she didn't feel safe in her neighborhood.
Salir a las calles se siente más tranquilo, se siente como el clima, la gente y demás, se siente la tranquilidad.
But seeing the streets full of people she knows and feeling the spring air, she says she feels better. Charles Lane, WSHU News.
For the latest news from around Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio, of course, or catch all of your favorite WSHU programming anytime at WSHU.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast and for sharing it with your friends. I'm Sabrina Garone. Speak to you tomorrow.